Our Old Testament reading comes from Ezekiel 12, verses 1 through 28, which is the entire chapter. And in preparing for this, I needed to remind myself of the context. And then you're ready for a reminder of the context. Ezekiel was living at around the time when the Babylonian Empire was taking over everywhere, and when Judah was taken captive by Babylon. And one might tend to think this was just a single event, but it really played out over about 20 years from whatever it was, 60-something B.C. to 586 B.C. was when the final destruction of Jerusalem was, and the destruction of the temple. And at that point, there just wasn't anything at all left. But at the point when Ezekiel's writing, he and the royalty, the royal family, and many others from Jerusalem had been taken to Babylon. And so they're in Babylon, but there's still people living in Jerusalem. There's a king in Jerusalem who was appointed by Nebuchadnezzar. He was the uncle of the real king who was taken away to exile. And that uncle's name, the king who's there at the point when Ezekiel's writing this, his name is Zedekiah. Is that right? I don't know why I'm drawing a blank on that. Yeah, Zedekiah. And Zedekiah was, over the course of years, was kind of rebelling against Nebuchadnezzar, which he should not have done, but that just brought down the wrath of Babylon on him eventually. And so at the time when Ezekiel's writing this, oh, another contextual fact that I don't know how I missed this or if Pastor Barnes emphasized it as he was reading through this. But at this, through a good part of the book of Ezekiel, he's mute. Am I the only one that finds that surprising? He's mute. The only time he gets to speak is when he's given something from God to say, and he says what God says, and then he's mute again until the next time God gives him something to say, as I understand it. We're told that in chapter 3, and that muteness doesn't end until chapter 24, which is, and in chapter 24, again, I don't want to belabor the context, but I think it's really helpful to know what's going on. By the time we get to chapter 24, that final destruction of Jerusalem and the temple is about to happen. And God tells Ezekiel in chapter 24, on the day when the messenger comes to tell you of the news that Jerusalem is crushed, that's when you will be able to speak again. So he's got this period of several years where he's mute and he's uttering these prophecies that God gives him and doing these dramatic demonstrations, which we'll read of here in Ezekiel 12. And then another thing to note is chapter 12 starts a series of chapters that are just one pronouncement after another of God toward his people. And their attitude at this point apparently is, well, after all, Jerusalem's still standing. And after all, there is a king. He may not be the most legitimate king, but there is a king on the throne in Jerusalem. And after all, God has promised his blessing on Jerusalem. And after all, God's presence is in the temple. How could it ever fall? And so, therefore, we still expect to be rescued. Someone is going to come and take us back to Jerusalem and free us from the Babylonians. And what we have in this chapter that I'm going to be reading is God's pronouncement to them that they're fooling themselves, that the prophets they've been listening to have been lying to them, and in fact, their king is not going to leave Jerusalem as a king. He's going to leave like a beggar or a thief. He's going to leave in secrecy and with clothes on his back, not with pomp and circumstance and people to carry his baggage. And in fact, if you recall what happens to Zedekiah, we're told in 2 Kings 25 that when the wrath of Nebuchadnezzar finally does land on him, his fate is to see his sons slaughtered before his eyes, and then his eyes are put out, and he's led away to Babylon. That's what becomes of this king that these people are, who are in exile in Babylon with Ezekiel, that they're counting on to rescue them. And so, with that as the backdrop of what has happened and what will be happening in the next few years after Ezekiel writes this, or these events take place. Let's hear now God's word from Ezekiel 12. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house, who have eyes to see, but see not. Let me just pause there. It should be very familiar language to what we heard this morning. When Jesus was speaking in parables, they will have eyes but won't be able to see. They'll have ears but won't be able to hear. And here it's the same judgment is pronounced again. Son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house, who have eyes to see but see not, who have ears to hear but hear not, for they are a rebellious house. As for you, son of man, prepare yourself and exile's baggage and go into exile by day in their sight. You shall go like an exile from your place to another in their sight. Perhaps they will understand, though they are a rebellious house. You shall bring out your baggage by day in their sight as baggage for exile. And you shall go out yourself at evening in their sight as those who must go into exile. In their sight, dig through the wall and bring your baggage out through it. In their sight, you shall lift the baggage upon your shoulder and carry it out at dusk. You shall cover your face that you may not see the land, for I have made you a sign for the house of Israel. And I did as I was commanded. I brought out my baggage by day as baggage for exile, and in the evening I dug through the wall with my own hands. I brought out my baggage at dusk, carrying it on my shoulder in their sight. In the morning the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, has not the house of Israel, the rebellious house, said to you, What are you doing? Say to them, Thus says the Lord God, This oracle concerns the prince in Jerusalem and all the house of Israel who are in it. Say, I am a sign for you, as I have done, so shall it be done to them. They shall go into exile, into captivity, and the prince who is among them shall lift his baggage upon his shoulder at dusk and go out. They shall dig through the wall to bring him out through it. He shall cover his face that he may not see the land with his eyes. And I will spread my net over him, and he shall be taken in my snare. And I will bring him to Babylon, the land of the Chaldeans. Yet he shall not see it, and he shall die there. And I will scatter toward every wind all who are around him, his helpers and his troops, and I will unsheathe the sword after them. And they shall know that I am the Lord when I disperse them among the nations and scatter them among the countries. And I will let a few of them escape from the sword, from famine and pestilence, that they may declare all their abominations among the nations where they go, and may know that I am the Lord. And the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, eat your bread with quaking, and drink water with trembling and with anxiety, and say to the people of the land, Thus says the Lord God concerning the inhabitants of Jerusalem in the land of Israel, They shall eat their bread with anxiety and drink water with in dismay. In this way, her land will be stripped of all it contains on account of the violence of all those who dwell in it. And the inhabited cities shall be laid waste, and the land shall become a desolation, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, what is this proverb that you have about the land of Israel, saying, The days grow long and every vision comes to nothing? Tell them, therefore, Thus says the Lord God, I will put an end to this proverb, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But say to them, The days are near, and the fulfillment of every vision, for there shall no more For there shall be no more any false vision or flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I am the Lord, I will speak the word that I will speak, and it will be performed. It will no longer be delayed, but in your days, O rebellious house, I will speak the word and perform it, declares the Lord God. And the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, The vision that he sees is for many days from now, and he prophesies of times far off. Therefore say to them, Thus says the Lord God, None of my words will be delayed any longer, but the word that I speak will be performed, declares the Lord God. We can see that Ezekiel was faithful to what he was commanded to do, even though it was kind of a ridiculous thing, and he was probably mocked for it. But he did it immediately. He was obedient to his calling. And that demonstration he did, when it talks of the prince here, it's speaking of King Zedekiah. Maybe the word prince is used because he wasn't a descendant of the previous king, who was Jehoiachin, but he was his uncle. But what is dramatized is that this king would have to leave Jerusalem through a hole in the wall with his baggage on his back, with no one to go before him announcing his marching. No one would be next to him or behind him carrying his belongings. In fact, he would only take what he was able to carry. There wouldn't be a throne hauled around for him to sit on, or hundreds of servants waiting to hear his next command. He leaves as a thief or a beggar with no glory whatsoever. And God declares that Zedekiah will not escape from the net that God sets for him. And we even see here, God predicts what will happen to his eyesight. He says in verse 13, Yet he shall not see it. I will bring him to Babylon, the land of the Chaldeans, yet he shall not see it, and he shall die there. Which is exactly what happened. And the thing about eating bread and drinking water with great anxiety, that has to do with the siege. How is it that Jerusalem does finally fall? It's after a year and a half or 2 years of siege and starvation and this is speaking to, this anxiety is speaking to the conditions in the city, which would be horrific before the troops actually march in and destroy everything and kill almost everybody. And then the last section about the vision that he sees is for many days from now. They just could not believe that what he said would happen in their lifetime, but God assures them that it would. And let this be a warning to us. God is very forbearing, very patient, and we should not try his patience. We should not test him in his forbearance. His forbearance should lead us to repentance. And it's clear that this rebellious house was not led to repentance by his forbearance. And I'll leave you with a quote from Matthew Henry. He ends his comments on this section of Ezekiel by saying, "While impenitent sinners slumber, their damnation slumbers not." That's a word of warning to all of us. To those outside of Christ, it's a word of warning that God will keep his promise, not only to save his people, but to punish those who oppose Christ. And it's a word of warning to us that the days are short and judgment is coming, and we're to be about the business of our Lord, spreading the gospel and being his instruments in declaring God's salvation for sinners. Because the day will come, just as the day finally came on Jerusalem, that there won't be any more opportunity for those who oppose Christ. Let us pray now. Our Heavenly Father, we marvel that you would, on the one hand, be so patient and long-suffering with your people. For how many centuries had they been idol worshipers and been violent toward one another and been false in their supposed devotion to you, and you endured it, and you endured it, and you endured it, and you sent prophet after prophet after prophet, many of whom they killed. And finally, you brought the final judgment to that nation. Not final, 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 but final in the sense of them, their sovereignty as a nation. And Father, we see your loving kindness and your patience with us. And we thank you that though your patience is long with sinners, it is also long with us who are sinners but redeemed sinners. And we praise you that you are patient in the bringing about of the kingdom of God, that you will certainly bring it, but at the time of your choosing. And our Lord will certainly return, but at the time you have set. And we pray, Father, that we would be ready, as you call all of your people to be, always ready, ever watching for the return of Christ. Grant that we would be constantly watching, constantly worshiping you and serving you and looking to Christ. We pray that our faith would not falter, and you have promised to keep us faithful. And so may you do what you have promised for your people, that you would not only save us, but that you would preserve us until that day of our Lord's return. Father, we lift up to you again requests concerning our congregation. And you know the long affliction that Bob and Marie have been under. We ask again, as we have many times, if if you would, Father, lift your afflicting hand from them and grant them health that would enable them to join us in worshiping you each Lord's Day. We ask again that you would grant Karen the relief that she desires from her illnesses. We pray that her tests and procedures of this week would have a good outcome, and that you would give her relief and enable her to live a normal life and to join us in worship often. We thank you for her desire to be here. We pray that you would grant her that desire and grant good for her soul. Father, we pray for our children that they would not fall under your judgment, and instead we ask that you would bring them to life spiritually. We thank you for those who have professed Christ and made a public profession of their faith in Jesus. And we pray that for all of our children and all of the children present here, every child of every parent in this congregation, we pray, would come to faith in Christ and would not be in that rebellious house that we read of just now. Bless us now in the remainder of this service of worship, and we pray that we would serve you and worship you with our whole hearts, sincerely, and with the utmost devotion and reverence, that you would be praised and glorified, and that our Lord Jesus would be lifted up. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.